surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that. We've been talking about the gospel for weeks. Those of you who started this journey, how many of you have been here every week since we've been talking about the true gospel? Raise your hand if you've been here. Because if everyone's been here, I won't repeat myself, but I know that everyone's been here. So I want to do a quick review. We looked in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 is where we started this. And the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church there. He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. And I said, if we're really going to understand this, and he said, a different gospel other than the gospel that they preach. And he said, in fact, if someone comes to you, be it man or angel, and they preach something different than what we preach, he said, let them be accursed. And we've been talking about the true gospel, because what I see in our society, unfortunately, in the good old United States of America where we live, we see something called the gospel that doesn't look like the apostles' gospel that they preach. And so we've talked the last few weeks, we've talked about the gospel of grace and how it's by grace and grace alone. We've seen that to access that grace is by the gift of faith. We talked about the gospel of faith. We talked about the gospel of peace. Here's the thing, many of you realized that day that you were at turmoil with God, that you were fighting against Him. From your very moment of existence in this world, you were an enemy of God because of sin. You left here that day with peace. How many of you are thankful for the peace that you have through the gospel of Jesus Christ? And we talked about the gospel of love. The gospel of love. And we know this, if we have all these things and we have not love, we're just a bunch of noise. We talked last week about the gospel of change. If you're in Christ, there's going to be some change. We talked about that change. We talked about that change is going to be internal before it's visible. But I promise you this, there will be change because a process has started because the Holy Spirit is now moving and living in you. So there will be a change where He who has preordained you in Christ, He is now causing you to conform to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He tells us this, you better know it's going to happen. He who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion. And so we understand that. We know this, that if somebody's truly saved, this is where we get in all the theological fights and it's nonsense. The sign of someone who's really heard the true gospel and received it is there is going to be change in their life, period. Because the Holy Spirit has started to work in them that Scripture confirms He will carry unto completion. I'm thankful He didn't say He'll carry it until I mess up. Thankful for that. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ, and by His grace and by His sacrifice, has already cleansed my mess ups. So as we look today, I want to cover a topic that's a little more difficult, especially in our society. Especially for some of you church people. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that right off the bat. If you were raised in church, you've heard some heresy your whole life. I'm going to mess you up because what I'm going to do is I'm going to just call it what it is. There is no one in this room who is born again because you prayed a little prayer and asked Jesus into your heart. Everybody understand that? I know you went to a church growing up where the little old lady in your Sunday school class told you, well, things are going bad in your life. What you just need to do is you need to pray this little prayer and ask Jesus into your heart. Jesus has no place in your sinful heart. In fact, Jesus wouldn't even go into your sinful heart because He's holy and He's perfect and He's righteous. And so we see something that is being left out of the Americanized gospel all the time. And I'm going to talk to you about it because I love it that Bo just said it. What a perfect introduction. He said he surrendered to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you this morning about the true gospel of surrender. The true gospel of surrender. I'll tell you this, it's been some years now because I was in that denomination that said, just ask Jesus into your heart, pray this little prayer. Just reach out and take Jesus by His hand and walk with Him. You can't. It's impossible for you to do. It's not a work that humans have ever been able to do. If they could have, Jesus would have not come to this earth and died. So I was from that denomination. I remember this. I was challenged in what I did for about 2 years. I just read what Jesus said. I'm astounded by those of you in the American church who say you follow Jesus and you don't really know what Jesus taught. You say, I'm a Christian, I am a little Christ, and you don't know what he taught. Here's what Jesus is going to teach on following him today. Now listen, I'm going to tell you this, it's going to bother some of you from the very beginning. And I hope if it bothers you because the Holy Spirit is convicting you, that you repent and you surrender to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Because that's probably why it's bothering you. I would do you an injustice to let you to continue to go through this life and to step off in eternity holding on to the hope that you prayed the little prayer with the little Sunday school teacher. Thinking that somehow your act of praying with that teacher saved you. I want us to look at this, and I want us to look at this carefully. Luke chapter 9. As Jesus presents the gospel. Let me understand, if Jesus presents the gospel, we probably need to pay attention. Watch what he's going to say. How many of you understand the gospel includes death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Jesus is going to teach his disciples the gospel the very first time. Luke chapter 9, Matthew, Mark, Luke, if you're new to this. Chapter 9. He says this in verse 18. Pay attention. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowds say I am? What do the multitudes say about me? You know, we got a phenomenon going on in the American church. We think that if there's a bunch of people, something good's going on, but they may have the wrong idea. He says, who do the multitudes say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and so others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. Here's the thing, all of them were dead wrong. The multitude was dead wrong. Watch what he's going to teach the minority here. And here's the thing. I don't care if the whole world gets this. I pray that they do. But I want to make sure that the people who have been entrusted to me to hear the true gospel get this. Watch what Jesus says. But what about you? He asked, who do you say that I am? Peter answered, the Christ, God. Some of your manuscripts say, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. He said, don't tell him yet because it's not time. How many of you know everything is in God's timing? The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. Why? Because prophecy said he was going to be. He said, there's some things that have to happen. And he must be killed. The death. And on the third day, we know he was buried because on the third day it says this, he must be raised to life. Jesus preaching the gospel here. Pay attention. How many of you had Red Letters Edition? Who's talking? Stay with me. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me. You know what he just told us? The multitudes don't get it. That's what he said. What do the crowd say? Well, they're wrong. I want you guys to get it. So pay attention. Here's the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to raise from the grave. That is the message of the gospel. And he said, and if anyone wants to follow after that message, follow after the one that message points to. He said, if anyone would come after me, watch this, underline it, highlight it. Put an asterisk out beside it in your Bible. This is Jesus speaking. This is not Kirk Hall. This is not some made-up thing to thrill you this morning. This is what the Word of God says out of the mouth of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says this. Listen to me. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me, we'll save it. Excuse me. I know that was loud. He goes on to verse 25. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self, soul? If anyone is ashamed of me, in my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth. some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Why does he say that? If you read on, you see that some went and saw him ascend into heaven. They saw the kingdom of God opened up. He's prophesying to them. What I want you to focus on today is the message that Jesus preached, the message of surrender. The message of surrender. And why I say this is so important is because I promise you, it is not being preached in the majority of American churches. It is the gospel of convenience. It is the gospel of whatever's comfortable. It is the gospel of let's be sensitive to the seekers, which are lost people. Never should we alter the gospel to fit someone who is a sinner. Ever. What we ought to do is we ought to preach the gospel and let God change lives. But Jesus is saying this. He's saying there is an element of surrender. You cannot, listen to me, you cannot believe the gospel, you cannot preach the gospel, you cannot even call it the gospel of Jesus Christ if you don't include what Jesus preached along with the gospel. He's preaching here, teaching here about surrender. Because some of you, your whole life, you've been on the verge of surrender. But you haven't turned loose of the world in repentance. Oh, you want to date Jesus. But you don't want to marry him. Are you listening to me? You want to date Jesus. You want to date Jesus on a Sunday morning and hold his hand and look all pretty and cute with Jesus. And so people will say, oh, what a great couple. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to go through the hard times with Jesus. This is why people date and they don't get married. Oh, we want to date so I can get all the benefits of a companion, but I don't want that commitment. I don't want even greater than commitment. Pay attention to this word, total devotion. And many of you are still just dating Jesus. You've heard the truth. You've been enlightened. You hold his hand on Sunday morning, but you walk out the doors on Sunday afternoon and you're just the same as you've always been. I pray today that God would challenge some of you in your heart to devote everything to him, to turn from this world and to turn from sin and to turn to he alone who can save. It comes with surrender. Watch what he says. Verse 23. I'm going to focus on 23 through 26. I'm going to move as quickly as possible. Number one, we see in verse 23, the first part, he said, if any man shall come after me, let him deny himself. If any man come after me, he must deny himself. This is to disown oneself in the Greek. To disown one's self. That means this, yourself was bent to sin. Yourself was bent to worldliness. This is when you turn your back on you. And the problem is no one's challenging people to repent anymore and to turn their back on themselves in order to receive Christ. Let me tell you this. If your focus is still you and your focus is still the world, you have not done an about face and turned to Christ. You've never surrendered. And I know the immediate thing that people are going to say, well, wouldn't surrender be a work? Let me say this. Absolutely, positively not. We just honored our veterans here today. Some of them fought in war. And here's the thing. When an army surrenders, they stop fighting. And they are at the mercy of the one who they were fighting against. It is a total denial of themselves. They wave that white flag and they say, we're at your mercy. We are done fighting. It's not works. It is the complete opposite of works. It is the total absence of works. Because some of you have been fighting against God, trying to do this on your own, trying to figure it out on your own, and you cannot. And today I pray that he leads some of you to surrender, complete surrender, a turning from sin and self, and a turning to Christ alone. A turning to Christ alone. Let me tell you something, don't turn to Kirk Hall, don't turn to this church, don't turn to any denomination. It is a turning from your sin and yourself to Christ alone. Complete surrender. Complete repentance will always accompany true salvation. You cannot, in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, leave out surrender and repentance. Amen. I'll amen myself. Some of you are worried right now. Jesus himself preached it. What did he say? Can we please put some validity to the things that the man said while he was on this earth? Unless you, what? Repent! You will likewise perish. Jesus came preaching a message of repentance, and unfortunately in the day and the age that we live in, we're afraid that if we preach repentance, people will get upset and leave. Let me tell you right now, I don't care what lifestyle you are in. If it is a sinful lifestyle of any kind, it doesn't take long to open up the Bible and see that there are all kinds of lifestyles you can live. We don't have to just focus on one. But you can go through, and if you are living a lifestyle, a habitual lifestyle of sin, you have never repented, you have never completely surrendered to Jesus Christ. Man, I wish some people would get saved so I get some people in here that shout when they hear the truth. A complete surrender of oneself. Jesus said it, I didn't. He said, if any man's going to come after me, what is he saying? Let's break it down so we can understand it. I'm a C-plus student. I'm cool with that. Hey, here's the deal. If you're going to follow me, the first thing is you got to deny yourself. How many of you remember his conversation that he had with the rich young ruler who had it all and thought he had more than all? What did he tell him? He preached the gospel of surrender. He said, man, you got to keep all the commands. Oh, I've done that since my youth. Really, have you? Liar. I've done that since my youth. He said, well, then go sell everything. Wait, sell everything. His whole hope was in everything he had. What did Jesus preach there for us? Church, say it with me. Surrender. Jesus said, you leave it all. Come follow me. Guess what? He went away upset because he couldn't. He said, I'd rather date Jesus. Pretend to be righteous on Sunday morning because it's a lot easier that way. Let me tell you what, it is a lot easier that way. You won't suffer. You won't suffer persecution. You won't suffer at all. You'll come here in this nice little comfortable environment. Everybody will think you're spiritual. And they'll pat you on the back and say, oh, brother, what a blessing I had of what you shared in that class. And then you go out and you live like hell. Let me say this. You've never surrendered to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Complete surrender. Check this out. And I believe this, if we would preach this message across the board in Christianity, there would be less fights in church. We get into the fight. Was that person saved and always saved and then got lost again? And we get in all these debates. What do you believe in this? And what do you believe in that? It's silly, stupid stuff. Here's what I believe. If a person follows Jesus Christ, there will be a complete surrender initially. That complete surrender is going to lead into the next thing that Jesus says. He said, if a man's going to follow me, what did he say? He's got to deny himself. Then he goes on and he says this. Not only that, he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Not only is the true gospel a gospel of complete surrender, it's a gospel of a continual surrender of oneself. A continual surrender. What in the world? Here's the thing. What if I don't continually surrender? Here's the thing. You probably aren't a believer. People fight over it all the time because you know what they do? They base salvation on someone's work. Well, I was there the day they got saved. No, you weren't, because Scripture says they were saved in eternity past. So you weren't there. You were there the day that they made a public profession that may or may not be a bunch of empty words. We don't know that. But we do know this. We know that if they are truly followers of Jesus Christ, there will be a complete surrender initially where you say, God, I don't want my life anymore. God, I don't want my sin anymore. I need you. And then from that, we're going to see a work that begins that we've already talked about through the Holy Spirit, and that person is going to learn to continually die, to continually offer themselves up. Not only is it a complete surrender, it's a continual surrender. It is a daily death for Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this, every day my flesh struggles with dying, but every day I have to willfully crucify my flesh. Why? Because I'm trying to earn salvation? Absolutely, positively not, because salvation lives in me. because the Holy Spirit won't allow me to continually resurrect my flesh, because my flesh brings forth sin and death. What the Holy Spirit does in me is just what the Holy Spirit has always promised He will do in me, is carry out a work that Jesus started in me until it's completely finished. Those of you who are truly born again, you understand what I'm saying right now. Those of you who are not, you're still trying with human effort. And you can't figure out why I can't die to myself. Because you don't have another option. You don't have another option because you prayed a little prayer, made some false confession before all the people in the church because your grandma wanted you to do it when you were six. And you can't for the life of you figure out why you can't daily die. Let me help you out. You don't have it in you to daily die until the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. It is a continual surrender of oneself. Let me tell you what. People will not have to ask you if you're a believer if you are continually dying to yourself. They may ask you, what'd you do that for? Because they don't understand. What'd you do that for? I've noticed that you're different. Got a phone call last night. I don't say this to brag on me because you know what I told the guys? Look, if there's anything good that you saw in me, it's Jesus. I got a phone call from another brother in law enforcement. You know what he told me? I praised Jesus for it last night. I said, Lord, thank you so much. He said, man, there's something different about you. What was funny, he didn't even know I'm a pastor. He even asked me where I went to church. You know what I did? I didn't say, well, I actually pastored church. I invited him. I was like, man, I go to a little church in New Caney off Antique. Come on, join us. He'd have flipped out. He came up this morning and saw me up here. But here's the thing. You know what he said, man? There's something different. He said, you don't treat people the way other people that we were around treat people. And you don't use language like the other people. And here's the thing. That's not me. That's the work of Christ in me. You think I don't want to use that language sometime? You think I don't want to handle somebody like they need to be dealt with sometime? No, we're humans, aren't we? But here's the thing. Why do I not? It's not because Kirk Hall's figured out this awesome thing. There was a point in time where Kirk Hall completely surrendered to Jesus Christ, and that is resulting in a continual surrender to Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what He's called me to do. That happens in a true believer's life. Newsflash. Continual surrender where you say, okay, this is not my choice. My choice is to punch them in the throat. But it's not about my choices anymore. It's not about my rights. It's not about my dreams. It's not about my goals. It's not about my ideas. It's not about my philosophy, etc., etc. It's not about us anymore when continual surrender comes to live inside of us. And I believe this. I believe if more people preached the real gospel, we'd have less arguments about it. Do you believe in eternal security or do you don't? John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Here's the thing. I believe this. Once God gives something that's everlasting, it's always everlasting. But I'll say this. Listen to me. I believe there are many people who've never surrendered to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've never been given true faith to believe. They've never been lavished with grace and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what I believe about it. Why? Because it's consistent with Scripture, not because that's how I was raised. I was raised like this. Well, if you just make a profession, everything's going to be all right. You just live however you want. And in the end, God's going to say, you're good. No, we talked about it last week. You're a new creation, man. You can't do that. It's impossible. I promise you. You know how I know it's impossible to continue in a lifestyle that's contrary to what God wants you to live as a believer? I've tried. And so is everyone in here who's a true believer. You realize, man, what I used to get away with, I don't get away with any longer. Why? Holy Spirit lives in me, and He is doing a work that He says He's going to finish. I just need to get out of the way. About continual surrender of oneself, the daily surrendering of your thought rights. How many of you know this? When you got saved, you laid down your rights if you truly got saved. Now, let me say that again. You don't have a right anymore to anything. Before Christ, guess what? You had a right to your life. And boy, what a beautiful life it was. Full of the wrath of God. Dirty filth, destined for judgment and hell. Aren't you glad you didn't hold on to that one? But the fact of the matter is this. Some of us still think we can hold on to part of that. You can't hold on to part of that. It's a surrender of your rights. It's a surrender of your rights on Facebook to tell everybody what you think. You know who you are. Shut up! Number one, nobody cares. Number two, God didn't invent Facebook to change the world. He invented Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who came to this earth to die to change the world. Now live it and shut up! Live it and shut up, because nobody cares that you're right all the time on Facebook. You just look stupid. Well, I'm never coming to this church again. Yeah, because you love Facebook more than you love Jesus. But isn't it true? I got it right. Tell them what I think, and I'm brave. Yeah, you're brave. Hide behind that screen. I'll tell them what I think. No, if you want to tell somebody what you think and you're that brave, go look a man right in the eyes and tell him what you think. Go look a woman right in her eyes and tell her what you think. Because you don't have the courage to do it, because you know you're wrong. So just shut up. If you have a problem with somebody, Scripture gives you a detailed description of how you're supposed to handle that. Go to that person. Not to their picture on the screen and click on it. Sick of it. I hope some of you are too. Are you sick of it enough to stop doing it? Boy, that was a free sermon I never saw coming. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Hey. I'm thankful for revelation as you preach. Continual surrender when you want to write those things. Because I know you do. You're hot-headed, temperamental. It made you mad. You know what the Holy Spirit's going to do in your life? That you're going to write that thing out. You know how many emails I have typed up and never sent? I'm going to tell them what I think. Type that thing out. Oh, yeah, yeah. Ooh. Hey, babe, come and read this. See if that gets you good. Yeah, that nail. Skittle. Go to hit that return button. God said, that ain't the way to handle it. You have an ought against your brother. Who said this? Jesus said it. Go to them. Say, hey, man, we might have a problem. Let's talk about this. If they take it the wrong way, man, that's on them. But at least you did what you were supposed to do. Don't broadcast it to the whole world. You know what it does? You know why Jesus said go to them? Because Jesus always promotes unity in the church. What it does, it says to the world, the church is divided. Because they see you arguing. I don't care how many likes you get in your favor. The world still sees you as bringing disharmony in the body of Christ. And they laugh at us. They scoff about things like that. I thought they're supposed to be unified. I thought they're supposed to be on the same team. Don't forget to every now and then stop and think like the lost person thinks. Because that's who we're trying to reach in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a complete surrender. It's a continual surrender. Lastly, I'm done. It's a costly surrender. A costly surrender. This is when people usually run out. This is when they say, man, I've heard enough. I like my little prayer. I like my public profession. I like being baptized. But you've taken it a step too far here. Let me remind you, verse 24 through 26, I did not make this up. This is what Jesus says. Watch what he says. Verse 24. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very soul, his self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and all the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. You know what Jesus preaches here that a lot of people don't want to talk about? The high cost of the gospel. The high cost of the gospel. You know why? Because these lying preachers, lying preachers, stand in the pulpit and they say this. Just come on, it's free. Can I call a time out there? Let me say this. If you follow Jesus today, it could cost you your very life. You don't believe me? Do a little research. Do a little history. Find out about the apostles. The ones that they didn't kill, they tried to kill them. If you don't believe me, why don't we go back and research Jesus? Do you know who put Jesus on a cross? Do you know who put him on the cross? He's getting theological. We know this. He allowed them to. But what happened to religious people said, we got to get rid of him. And then Jesus says this. You're going to have to lose your life for me. Now we know this. We live in a country, well, thankfully, that we have freedom to worship Jesus the way we do. We have freedom to express the truth from the Word of God the way that we do. But did you know this? We are the minority and we are the shrinking minority. Is there some countries right now, there is a preacher behind the pulpit somewhere, hidden off in a room somewhere, who's preaching the gospel with every ounce of energy that he has, knowing full well that at any moment, armed people could come in there and kill that whole congregation. And he's willing to do it. Why is he willing to do it? Because he has surrendered to the costly gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what's wrong with Americans? Doesn't cost us anything. We can pray a little prayer and live any way we want to live and have the world in our left hand and God in our right hand, and boy, isn't everything just fine. The only problem with that is if you believe the Word of God. That says if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy. That basically tells us that you can't come to Christ unless you surrender everything. It is a costly surrender. It is a complete surrender. It is a continual surrender. Stop thinking that it costs nothing to follow Jesus. It costs Jesus' life. It costs the apostles their life. Pay attention to me. If you really surrender to Him, life as you know it, life as you know it is over. Let me help you out. It was death anyway. Let it go. Life as you know it is over. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ according to Jesus, isn't it pretty neat when we want to know what Jesus thinks? All we got to do is go find out what He said. He said it's a costly surrender. It'll cost you everything. Just as it cost Jesus everything, just as it cost the apostles everything. So here it is, in a nutshell. You don't surrender to Jesus Christ, it'll cost you eternity. It'll cost you judgment in hell. It'll cost you the absence from the presence of God. It'll cost you torment for all eternity. It'll cost you the rightful judgment that you deserve if you don't surrender to Jesus. But watch this, if you do surrender to Jesus, because I want you to count the cost. Why? Because Jesus preached that when he was preaching. Did you know that? Count the cost. Count the cost. You know what? Jesus actually kind of made fun of some people when he was talking about counting the cost. You know what he said? He said this. He said, what if somebody starts to build something and they only get halfway through? Don't people come by and laugh at them? Don't people come by and say, man, they didn't count the cost. They got into this before they knew what it was going to cost in the end. I want you people here today who the Holy Spirit is dealing with, I want you to count the cost today. I don't want to sell you some sour bill of goods that says, man, all you got to do is pray this prayer, invite Jesus in your life, and you'll be born again. That's false. False. I don't care how many times you say it, it's false. If you are to receive the grace and the mercy from the God, sovereign God of the universe, don't forget who He is, the one in control of everything, God the Father in heaven, through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're going to receive grace and mercy through Him, it only comes through surrender. Saying, I don't care what it costs. What did Jesus say about that? He said, yeah, because if you're ashamed of me before man on this earth, pay attention. This is what He said. I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. You know what He's saying? I'm not going to stand in the gap for you. Why? Because you never surrendered to me and what I have done and the work that I accomplished. What was the work? He already mentioned in the first verses, the death, burial, and resurrection. So count the cost. Because it could cost you eternity, it could cost you hell, it could cost you absence from the presence of God forever. Count the cost. You can lose your life today. You can lose your sinful life today that's not worth a whole lot. You can gain the greatest thing that ever happened to the sinful man. Atonement, forgiveness, cleansing, eternal life. Why? Because Jesus died so that you could have it. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed? Every head bowed and every eye closed. This is the point. You've got to ask yourself this question. Am I going to hold on to the false gospel that left out surrender and just hope that my little prayer gets me where I need to go? Or will you truly repent of your sin and yourself and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ today for the very first time? God is calling you right now in your heart to receive grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I promise you, you're aware of that more than you're aware of my voice right now. And if you're here and you say, Kurt, that's me. I know God's telling me that I need to surrender my life. I want to do that right this very minute. Say that to me. Would you slip up your hand right now where I can see you, where I can pray for you. Raise it up high where I can see you. Say, I need Jesus to save me today. Thank you, sir. Keep it up. I need Jesus to save me this very day. I'm surrendering my life to Him. I'm turning from my sin. I'm turning from myself. He's telling me in my heart right now, He desires to cleanse me of all my sin. Give me new and eternal life. And I'm trusting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, slip up your hand right now. Don't hesitate. Don't spend an eternity separated from God because you held on to some false profession that never led to a change in your life. Don't hold on to some false profession that you know in your heart of hearts you would never die for. You can't even live for. Say, Kirk, that's me. I need Jesus to save me. You raise your hand where I can pray with you. Like that. If you pray to receive Christ today, just a moment as the invitation song begins, there are prayer partners here to my right and to my left. What I encourage you to do is be courageous enough to come grab one of these people to say, I need Jesus to save me this morning. I'm confessing Him as my Lord and Savior, and I'm surrendering His grace and His mercy, and I'm turning from my sin, turning to Him. I need Jesus this morning more than I need the air I breathe. They'll take the Word of God and they'll show you what it means to be born again. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life this morning. God's dealing with the Holy Spirit right now. If you're here, say, Kirk, I know I'm a believer. No doubt about it. But I'm struggling with that continual surrender. Let me just say this. We all do. Until we stop and trust Him. So when we throw our hands up and say, Lord, I know I didn't come into a relationship with you by not surrendering. I'm not going to continue to benefit from my relationship if I'm fighting all the time and trying to go back to my flesh. Listen, it's time for you to confess that to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Because I've been operating in my flesh and I'm getting the reward of operating in my flesh. Be honest with Him. And Lord, I confess that. I lay that down this very day. The Word of God says that He's faithful to confess. Forgive you of all unrighteousness, to cleanse you of all sin. You allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life. You allow the cleansing flow of Calvary to cleanse you this morning. If you need Jesus right now, it's time to get out of your seat. Come talk to one of these people. Come grab me. It really doesn't matter. Say, I need Christ to save me.